Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Our guy Ryan Fagan joins us from the Sporting News. You can follow him on Twitter at Ryan Fagan. Read him at sportingnews.com as we talk all things Cardinals and National League Central. Ryan, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. Just a couple weeks until the family loads up the moving van and heads back to St. Louis after 10 years. So that's an exciting time. We got the baseball postseason coming into picture. It's a good time. Good time to be a baseball fan.
Yeah, you know, I was saying this to one of my buddies with the Cardinals who had a son recently, and it applies to you with your new daughter, that, man, some of these St. Louis kids and sports fans are going to be spoiled, not just the Cardinals run that they've been on, but the Blues winning the Stanley Cup and MLS coming, and maybe like an XFL championship. Good time to be a kid, almost like kids that were born in, you know, 15 years ago in Boston when they started their run.
Yes, there we go. I've told many people that the Blues have won the Stanley Cup championship every single year that May's been alive. So, you know, it's pretty good.
Let's talk about the Cardinals, but I have to start with Chris Duncan, Ryan, and his passing that was announced over the weekend. And I know that, you know, whether you were in the media or, you know, like me, and I know you too, I didn't really get to work with Chris, just overlapped a very small amount of time with him when he was doing radio here in St. Louis before he moved out west. But just to hear the stories and the memories that people have, and whether they knew Chris as a person and a colleague or a teammate or were just a fan who, you know, watched the incredible run, the way he came up in 2006, and then the way that he really became a fantastic talk show host. Just really, really sad, but I personally have thought a great celebration of his life and some great memories over the last couple of days.
Yeah, it is terribly sad. You know, I mean, obviously we all knew that he's been battling over the last several years, but still, when you saw the news, you know, I saw it on Twitter. Somebody tweeted out Dan McLaughlin's breaking of the news. You know, you just kind of stop for a second, you catch your breath, and you're like, man, that's horribly sad, because he was one of the good people. You know, I mean, whether it was his time with the Cardinals and what he did, you know, Tony La Russa has gone out of his way to talk about that, his contributions in 06. You know, if he's not there, not only did they not win a World Series, they don't get to the postseason, and none of these things happen. You know, when you're talking about one of a limited number, you know, more World Series championships than most franchises have, but still one of a limited number of World Series titles, and to be that direct of an influence on that happening, that's a pretty big deal, you know. And obviously, as his second career as a talk show guy, he was refreshing. That was the great thing about listening to Chris on the radio, is he wasn't afraid to be self-deprecating, which is a great trait, if you ask me. He wasn't afraid to tell stories, but, you know, he was honest with his critique, but he would offer critiques when necessary. He's the kind of radio guy you just enjoyed listening to.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. And again, just very, very sad, but, you know, so many of shared memories. David Eckstein going to be on in our next segment. He'll visit with Tom Ackerman to share some memories. And, you know, that 2006 team really caught fire, 2011 as well, because of contributions by players that maybe weren't expected on paper at the beginning of the year to contribute. Duncan, chief among those in 06. And it's been fun to watch this team, Ryan, over the last couple of weeks and really the last calendar month, going back to August the 9th, 1 month ago today. That was the game against the Pirates, the first game after that five-game skid in California. And it's been a host of different guys, whether it's, you know, studs like Flaherty and Dakota Hudson in the bullpen, or, you know, Goldschmidt and Ozuna and Fowler and Wong, or even guys that have been up like Tommy Edman and now Harrison Bader. Everyone really contributing, I think, to about as well-rounded a Cardinals club as we've seen certainly all season.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously we all heard the news a couple weeks ago that Tom Brady got denied the Tom Terrific nickname, but I think they might make an exception for Tommy Edman. You know, he's been pretty amazing there. You know, I just posted some of these things on Twitter today. I was looking at kind of the second half records, and a couple of things really stood out to me. One, you look at the second half records just in the NL Central, and if you just focus on two teams, the Cardinals and Pirates, the Cardinals at the All-Star break were exactly 500, 44 and 44. The Pirates were 44 and 45, a half game back. And now you look at the standings, and it's almost like it was a different year. You know, and that's one of the things that's so hard to determine. You know, front offices are trying to decide, are we going to buy? Are we going to sell? Is this team for real? Is this team a fluke? And these are the types of things that are the problem. And, you know, the Cardinals right now, there are three teams in baseball in the second half that have 37 wins. That's the most of baseball. And it's the Cardinals, the Yankees, and the Astros. You know, so when you're in that kind of company, two teams that are considered overwhelming World Series favorites in, or at least contenders to get there, in the Yankees and Astros, and the Cardinals have as many wins after the All-Star break as they do without nearly the star power, it really is a testament to what they've been able to do as a team. And I'll be honest, I didn't necessarily see that coming. You know, with some of the struggles they had in the first half, individually and as a team, I don't know that I thought they were capable of playing this well for this long, but you know, they've been doing a great job, and at a certain point, you are what your record says you are, and the Cardinals are pretty good right now.
Yeah, this is the latest in a season that they've been in first place by this margin since September 19th of 2015, when they won 100 games, but then lost to the Cubs in the National League Divisional Series in four games. And I think the difference is, it feels like, as you just said, this team is continuing to build, and almost like the Blues this spring. I feel like every game, every week, they're getting better and better. Where in 15, you dealt with some injuries. You kind of felt like you were hanging on, even though you won 100 games.
Yeah, look, momentum is a strange thing. And, you know, the person who figures out how to bottle momentum, how to change momentum, is going to make a lot of money. But there's some truth to it in sports, and I think there's no doubt about it. You know, and the Cardinals, for the most part of the season, well, at least the first half, you know, they struggled. They had their ups and they had their downs, and they had good months and they had months where they looked like, you know, they may not win 70 games all season. But when you start building towards something and you start believing that, hey, you know, we can really do this, and you take care of your business, and that's a big thing too. You know, there are some bad teams in baseball. You got to beat those bad teams because the wins count the same as everyone. So you beat the teams that you should be beating, and then you beat a couple of good teams, and guys get hot, and you have enough to carry you through, and all of a sudden it is different. You know, it's different when you're building towards something as opposed to spending most of the season being hunted, like some of those 100-win Cardinal teams that, you know, that didn't win a World Series, as opposed to the teams in 06 and 11 that didn't win World Series. I mean, you look at it, the records in the regular season are a lot different, and sometimes they enter October in a different way as well.
Yeah, taking care of business against the teams you have to beat. The Cardinals are now 48-27 against teams under 500. They're 40-26 against the Central. Cubs, meanwhile, are 39-26 against teams under 500, only two above 500 against the Central, 31-29. The Brewers are 28-29 against teams under 500. There's the difference in the division right now.
Right. It really is. It really is amazing. You know, I've done this the last couple of years where I'll take the record for the contenders against the worst in baseball, and I mostly did it this year with the American League because there are so many bad teams in the American League. You know, really, there's one bad team in the National League, and the Marlins and the Pirates and Rockies have been really bad in the second half, but they're pretty good in the first half. Whereas the AL has just a ton of awful teams, and you know, really, that's what's kept Cleveland in the race. The difference between the record the Astros have and the record the A's have, the Astros have consistently dominated those bad teams, and you know, it's people like to look at and say, okay, well, how they did against good teams in the regular season, that's what I'm going to make my postseason predictions on, how they did against those good teams. But, you know, you got to beat those bad teams to get yourself in position to be in October, you know, and that's something, as you just showed, you know, the Cardinals have done a better job of that than the Cubs and the Brewers have.
Ryan Fagan is with us from the Sporting News. Read him at sportingnews.com. Follow him on Twitter at Ryan Fagan. It's funny, though, when I talked to a couple of people about this last week, like at the beginning of the season, the middle of the season, like you just said, we kind of said that teams in the National League were hanging around maybe, but it's incredible now. Like The Cardinals 23-7 over their last 30 games, 15-5 over their last 20, and they've lost ground over the last month on the Atlanta Braves, who have won 9 of their last 10, 17 of their last 20. At one point last week, I'm like, man, I wonder how close the Cardinals are to the Braves, if they could potentially catch them, or if the winner of the Central could potentially catch them. And then the Braves go in and knock the Nationals around over the weekend and just continue to play better and better. Now the Cardinals are in front of the Nationals from a record standpoint.
You know, and you know who doesn't feel bad for Cardinals fans? It's Nationals fans.
Yeah.
They had a stretch where there was a stretch of, like, I want to say 6 weeks, where the Nationals had the very best record in all of baseball, and they gained like a game on the Braves because the Braves had the second best record in all of baseball. So, you know, the Cardinals and Braves are looking at, you know, who's going to have, probably, unless the Braves catch the Dodgers, who's going to have the home field advantage in the LCS.
They're only three and a half behind the Dodgers, though, and the Dodgers are basically playing 500 baseball over the last 3 weeks.
That's why I had to kind of qualify that a little bit, because the Braves have been playing so well.
Which is crazy,
you know,
too.
Looking at the records, the Mets are a half game behind the Dodgers in the second half, which you look at the first half, and it was a totally different story. The Dodgers have been okay. You know, okay, they've had a huge, huge lead in the division. So, you know, if they're taking their foot off the gas pedal a little bit, that's fine. But, you know, Hung Jin Ryu has been mediocre at best his last month since coming off the IL. You know, they just haven't been the same type of team. Now, can they be in the postseason? Are they still the most dangerous team in the postseason? Yes, I think that they are. I would put them still ahead of the Braves, even as well the Braves have been playing, and ahead of the Cardinals right now. But I think the gap has lessened. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
What's the one aspect that, as we get into the middle of September and head towards the postseason, what's the one aspect that you think other teams would be most concerned with as it comes to the Cardinals, their biggest strength setting up for a potential 5 or even 7-game series?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, and I've talked with friends about this. I think the Cardinals postseason is going to largely rely on how Jack Flaherty and Dakota Hudson do. You know, I think that has a big portion to do it, because they're the types of pitchers, the way they're throwing the ball right now, that can go out and win games on their own. You know, and I think you can count on one or two hands the number of starters that are able to do that, you know, and they can do that right now. So if you have Flaherty and Hudson going out and putting up zeros on a regular basis in the postseason, you know, you don't need to score 5 or 6 runs to win a playoff game, because it's hard to score 5 or 6 runs in a playoff game. So I think you have those two guys, and if you're an opposing team and you're trying to figure out how you're going to, you know, arrange your lineup, how you're going to arrange your bats, prepare for your bats against those two guys, I think you're a little bit worried. I mean, Flaherty in his last 12 starts has a 0.80 ERA.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's like, you know, I'm actually working on something for Wednesday. I shouldn't give a spoiler, but kind of comparing a little bit how his second half is compared to Jake Arrieta. I know, you know, Ben Hockman of the Post-Dispatch did that, I think touched on that a couple weeks ago. But it's really fascinating to me, because I had a vote for that 2015 NL Cy Young ballot. And trying to compare Arrieta's incredible hot streak to the consistency season long of Greinke and Kershaw that year was a challenge. It really was. It was fascinating. But, you know, I think that Flaherty's putting up the same type of run like Arrieta did, and it's really been something to watch.
Yeah, and that, I guess, compares perfectly, to come full circle, to that 2015 Cardinal club, because in the month of September, they kind of limped into the postseason in terms of, you know, Adam Wainwright was still hurt, Carlos Martinez was hurt and was eventually shut down. You were relying on Lance Lynn and John Lackey and Jaime Garcia, and the Cardinals starters in the month of September headed into the postseason had an ERA of 20 in 2015, despite the 100 wins, of 4.01. They were right in the middle of the pack. Guess which team had the best ERA in baseball in September? It was the Cubs, their starters, a 2.40, which showed in that first round until they ran into Daniel Murphy and the Mets.
Yeah, Daniel Murphy, who could not
Babe
be stopped
Murphy.
By anything.
Yeah.
That was one of the more incredible postseasons
Unreal.
I've ever seen. And, you know, and that's what's so much fun about the postseason, is Daniel Murphy happens, Mark Lemke happens. I mean, who was the guy for the Giants a couple years ago? Cody Ross. He happens. You know, these guys come from nowhere. And that's
Pablo Sandoval.
There you go. Those are eternally my favorite stories of October's, the guys who exceed every expectation and help carry their team to greatness. And that's really what I'm looking for. And the Cardinals have a couple of guys that are certainly positioning themselves very well to do that.
Ryan Fagan. Ryan, we appreciate it, man. As always, read Ryan at sportingnews.com. Follow him on Twitter at Ryan Fagan. Best of luck the next couple of weeks getting set and headed back to St. Louis. And hopefully when you guys are arriving, we're getting set for the first round of the Major League Baseball playoffs here in town.
There we go. I appreciate it. Always enjoy it, Chris.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.